Hi all, and welcome to this week's episode of Get Stuff Done. I'm Fintan Gavigan, and I'm the co-founder of Collaborative, and we're a marketing agency in Dublin. This week, I'm speaking with Adi Stack. Adi, in her professional life, is the founder and CEO of Stack's Pharmacies, which are a successful chain of pharmacies in the greater Dublin area. Adi's other life, though, is as founder of Hughes House. Hughes House provides free accommodation for families whose children are in hospital in Dublin. But I'm not going to tell you about it. I'm going to hand over to her and let her tell you all about herself and what she does.
Thanks very much, Fintan, for inviting me and letting me talk about something that's very close to my heart. So Hughes House was started as a small idea in 2012, when our son Hugh was born in December 2012. And Hugh passed away in August 2013, but long before we knew that Hugh was going to pass away, we began to see very early on in our experience in the hospitals that people were on a much more difficult journey than we were on. And I suppose in life, you know, in my business, in different things that I do, I'm always interested in a problem, because in a problem, there's an opportunity to make a difference. So you can decide to see that there's a problem there. And what we saw was that the hospital we were in was just a rotunda. Hugh got fantastic care and he was there for the first 6 or 7 weeks. But there was children there from all over Ireland. So there was families from Clonmel, there was families from the West Coast, Galway, so that Portiuncula Hospital feeds into Rotunda. So if your child needs extra care, or if you need extra care as part of your pregnancy, you were transferred to the Dublin hospitals for really, really good care. But we met families who were, we met a mum who'd had a baby at 24 weeks, who was getting on the bus every morning in Clonmel at 6 o'clock. Spending 2.5 to 3 hours on a bus to come up to Dublin to try and breastfeed her baby, who was tiny and really needed her. And every evening at 7 or 8, she would head back down on the bus again because there was no accommodation for families. And we met, and Hugh shared a room for 3 weeks of his, of those 6 weeks, with a little boy who got 2 visits. And when we met his mum, we saw that she was in a really different place than we were. She clearly loved her son, but financially she was in direct provision. She didn't have English as a first language, and she had no way of getting to Dublin to see her son. And her son passed away, and without having the full physical impact of how much his family loved him. So actually the idea of Hugh's House was founded not because Hugh died, but because Hugh lived, and introduced us to people who are in the same boat to us, but actually were in a very difficult financial position. And that's where the idea started. So we started, even when Hugh was alive, driving home. At the time we lived in Malahide, we now live in Meath, driving home different ways from the hospital, looking for houses, which sounds completely crazy. But actually we felt that we were there, the felt we had been put in that position because there was something we could do for the families. We couldn't bring them all home. We couldn't transfer their kids. So we felt maybe if we could find somewhere for them to stay, it would be much easier while their children were in hospital. And today we look after the parents attending 4 of the 5 children's hospitals in Dublin, all completely for free. So we look after the children who are in Hollis Street, the Coombe, the Rotunda and Temple Street. And we're the only parent accommodation that those 4 hospitals have.
Adi, it's an incredible story. I mean, it had been outlined to me before we spoke what you guys did, but to hear it from yourself, it's amazing. And where do you start? But I mean, there's usually at this point when we do the podcast, we'll ask people, you know, about the one thing they've done that's, you know, they're really proud of. I mean, there's a lot there that you've done that you're proud of. I suppose I will ask you, at one point in the journey, or at what point in the journey, was there an achievement that you really went, now that's it?
Well, there's a number of things. If I suppose, if you start at the beginning, when we found the house, we found a house in Dublin 1, we thought it was perfect. We gave the asking price and they wouldn't accept our offer. And the auctioneer was like, I can't understand why they won't accept your offer. Like, we gave the asking price. We thought it was the perfect house. And in reality, 3 to 4 weeks later, the house that Marty, Hugh's dad, felt was the perfect house and actually really matched the brief. And sometimes, like, I'm a great believer in a big picture. And I felt at the time I was really outraged with this family who were in probate, who just wouldn't sell us the house. But actually, I sometimes, and I do believe that things happen for a reason. And when three to four weeks later, the two houses came up, they were so perfect. They were even nearer to Temple Street. They had a garden. They were literally more than we could imagine. They also made us commit more than we ever wanted to commit. So they were double the price of the other house, but they were equally even more perfect. And I suppose Marty, Hugh's dad, was the one who said, this is what we're meant to do. To actually, he felt that they matched the brief. We had a sense that the houses should face four directions, which sounds very strange. But we felt that they should face four corners of Ireland, which is a strange thing most people would say, that, like, he's an engineer, you think we'd have gone for structurally sound. But one of the two houses that we ended up buying, they came as a pair, didn't even have a roof on it. But actually, they face four directions. And what you sometimes have to do with a problem is believe in the intangibles and say, what does it have to feel like? So I think one of the things that I'm most proud of is that I trusted Marty and the fact that he said he would put a roof back on it, even when I saw daylight and we spent $6,500 alone getting the pigeons out of it. But that actually what we ended up with was 7,000 square foot of space, when in the other house we'd have had 2,000. Does that make sense? That actually we were not believing big enough. And what I'm proud of is that I trusted Marty to help us to achieve something that was bigger than we had even imagined.
And of the 7,000 square feet of space, how many families does that cater for at any given time?
14 families. So 8 of the 14 rooms are ensuite rooms. They're large. They, you know, that they, we would have a lot of brothers and sisters. We'd have children who are end of life and they need their family, their brothers and sisters to be around them, but they may only be able to spend 10 or 15 minutes at a time in the hospital at the end of a child's life. So the 8 ensuite rooms are really important. And then we have 6 rooms where each 2 rooms share a bathroom. And there's also a beautiful sitting room, there's 2 kitchens, there's 2 laundries, all the practical things that if you're trying to put 14 families safely and securely where they still have their private space. And that was done by, you know, actually doing what we felt we couldn't do on our own. So we always felt we weren't on our own when we were doing it because the project was bigger than us.
Right. And I'd say, and this would lead me on to my next question, there's always things to be done.
Yeah, there's always things to be done. So like one of the unique things about Hugh's house is it's the only family accommodation throughout Ireland that's free. So if you stay in the accommodation in Crumlin or anywhere, there's a charge per day. And our policy was always going to be, our ethos was always going to be from day one, that we were never going to ask their families about the financial situation. And particularly the families who stay with us, about a quarter of all the new children who arrive into Ireland every day are the new Irish, but a much, much higher percentage of our families are the new Irish. We've had families from Kurdistan, from Chile, who don't even have another relative in Europe. So if you had to go to Cork tomorrow, you would probably be able to ring someone who rings somebody who rings somebody who would say, you can stay on my couch. If you have no other relatives within 1,000 kilometers, you don't have that option. So one of the things that we have done is we have tried to work and improve the house at a pace that meant that we were never depending on the people we were meant to look after. Does that make sense? So you could do a budget, but if you've no income coming in, that is guaranteed. We get no government funding. We get no HSE funding. There is. We always have things to be done. And strangely, we always start with how it feels, if that makes sense. So the first thing we did, pretty much the first thing after the first few families had moved in and like the furniture was furniture that came out of our old house, was we did the garden. Because actually the garden is somewhere that not only do our 14 families use, but the children who are long-term in Temple Street, there's no garden in Temple Street. So we are now the garden for Temple Street. So imagine building a children's hospital and not having a garden.
What would your tip be? We ask everyone who we talk to what their tip would be as to how to get things done. What would your be your way you go, right? If you, this is how I'd get stuff done. This is my life hack.
You know, different people would say it in different ways. Like I would say first, you've got to verbalize it and even write it down. And I know that sounds stupid, but sometimes like I work constantly off a list. I have a list and we have a plan. And, you know, we prioritize that. And we also say it like I say it to myself. You could say it into and to then ask for help.
So, AD, over the past few months, things have been difficult to say the least. But on a personal note, what have you been doing? What have you been watching on TV? What have you been listening to? How do you unwind?
You know what? Like we've all been binging on TV. I suppose like, you know, Keeping a Current Behind Her Eyes with Eve Houston and that was, you know, that, you know, you kind of jump out of your skin with things like that. And, you know, I've actually started watching Homeland. I know everyone else started watching it like 9 years ago, but we never got around to it. So we're now in series two. So don't tell me what happened. But that's part of lockdown is you get to catch up. And, you know, like we're busy. We've three kids still in primary school, like, or, you know, one in play school, like homeschooling, which is such a pain. So there's a lot going on. But at the same time, I was in Hugh's house on Friday. You know, I was working on stuff over the weekend. And for me, that's my Hugh time. So I have four sons and three of them wreck my head and turn up in the bed every night and basically won't wash their hair and do all the things. And one son, I visit him in Hugh's house. Does that make sense? That's my Hugh time. So when I am looking after somebody or doing something practical for Hugh's house, I do it because I loved my son and I still love my son. But it's a positive thing and I come away feeling better. And apart from our two housekeepers who both work part-time and have the place amazing, everybody else connected with Hugh's house is a volunteer. So obviously all our boarders, volunteers. We're always looking for new board members, you know, people from the business community or whatever who'd be willing to give, you know, 3 or 4 hours, maybe 3 or 4 times a year. You know, that's, we're always looking for board members because new ideas and new things that we, you know, what, like, I suppose it is that the house itself is run on people saying, I see there's a problem. And I'm happy to do something about it. And not, we do need people to write a check, but actually most of what people do for us is using their brain, not their pocket. That actually is way more powerful, using their creativity, using their problem solving. Those things for us is actually how we've got to having 14 families full board if they need to. You know, the breakfast, lunch and dinner they're provided if they want to, but equally they can make their own food. They are independent families living with us while their child is in hospital, that we've done that through the power of people being willing to take control of their own lives and saying, I can make a difference.
So AD, if somebody wants to help, what do they need to do?
Well, there's an email, help@hughshouse. So help@hughshouse.ie. And we've a phone number and our contact details are on the website. And that, and like, it could be that you say, I can do one thing. And I'm really good at this one thing and I'm happy to give you 1 hour a month to do this one thing. Does that make sense? We're really open to whatever, like people with property management, it could be people who are, you know, have board experience or don't, or equally in their own lives are looking to get board experience and feel this could be an opportunity with a charity. Does that make sense? Like it can be that I get out of Hugh's house way more than I put in. I always come away feeling empowered.
Eddie, thanks for your time today. It's been really good. It's been really good talking to you, and it's a great story, and we've got all your details. So hopefully somebody listening in will get in touch and give that extra bit of support that you need. But in the meantime,
it's the just do it.
Get stuff done. Thanks for your time again. Look, and stay safe. I'll talk to you soon, hopefully. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.